Hare Krishna. I'd like to take this opportunity to introduce Devamrita Swami. Devamrita Swami studied, was born in New York City. He was a graduate student from Yale University, where most of the CEOs and presidents of America come from. After having completed his graduation from Yale, he came across the Indian scriptures like Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and it had a great profound effect on him. He decided to not to go ahead with his flourishing career, instead to dedicate his life in giving this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita to people around. He travels around the world. Since then he dedicated his life. He has been traveling around the world, speaking to contemporary students, working people, couples, families, and trying to explain the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita in a way that can be implemented in today's fast-paced urban life. Devamrita Swami, you know, travels to Australia, New Zealand, USA, India. He speaks at many IIT centers. He is invited by many companies in India to speak to their corporate house and their employees, in universities in India. In Australia, Melbourne University Medical Center invites him to talk to their staff and the students, also RMIT. He travels up all the way up to Russia and further up, and this way he spends most of his time trying to enlighten people, you know, modern day people. So I take this opportunity to thank Devamrita Swami for having spent his time to come here. Thank you, Maharaj.
Om Jnana Chimidangasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Guru Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Here we are in the ocean, afloat on this little boat. In the same way, we are in the ocean of material existence. What is keeping us afloat in the ocean of material existence? Generally, you'll find that, unfortunately, most people are drowning in the ocean of material existence. Now, you may ask, how can you drown in the ocean of material existence when, from the external point of view, everything looks fine? Money is there. Family is there. Comfort is there. Prestige is there. How can one then be said to drown in the ocean of material existence? Everything in material existence, as you know, has a beginning and end. That includes the body, that includes the mind. What actually is keeping us afloat, whether in material existence or spiritual existence, is the spirit soul. If we neglect our spiritual identity, then everything in our life becomes inauspicious. Yes, I know that there is wealth, there is affluence, there is prestige, there is fame and respectability. But these things are just like dust blowing in the wind. So easily, as you know, they're scattered by the waves of time. Let us consider the material situation. It's always good to think about these things, and that we are gathered in a quiet, peaceful place gives your fine intelligence a chance to consider the situation. Around us, we see material things, boats, big and small. We see the water, we see the sky, we see buildings. All these material objects that you see around you, they are pervaded by the material energy. That's why for real success, we have to ask, whose material energy is it? Whose material nature is it? So all the material objects around us are pervaded by Krishna's material energy. And then, pervading that material energy in a special way are the spirit souls who are part of Krishna. Those spirit souls pervade the material energy in a special way because they're trying to enjoy matter. They're trying to be successful by manipulating matter. The goal of the educational system is not to teach you who you are, but to teach you, whoever you are, how to manipulate matter. So the unknown is trying to manipulate matter and gaining prestige and affluence and wealth and respectability. From the viewpoint of sanity, from the viewpoint of the Shastra, these spiritual texts like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, to neglect your real identity, never mind how wealthy or famous you are, but to neglect your real identity means living the most poverty-stricken life. So let's go back to our scheme of things again. Material objects are all around you that you can see. And those material objects are pervaded by the material energy. And in a special niche, so to speak, pervading that material energy are the living entities, spirit souls, who set themselves up to be enjoyers, manipulators of that material energy. Do things stop there in the scheme of things? No. Pervading the material objects, pervading the material energy, and pervading the spirit souls, the living entities trying to enjoy the material energy. Pervading all that is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. That is why once we revive our connection with Krishna, then indeed we attain true success. But until we revive our connection with the supreme source of everything, Bhagavan Sri Krishna, we're always adrift. Like if you would see something adrift out there, a piece of wood or seaweed, without recognizing what we're missing, we endeavor in so many ways to satisfy our heart. Now, I'm not talking just about the necessities of life in terms of food, shelter, and clothing. I'm sure that all of you here have very handily and tidily taken care of the basic necessities of life. What you are concerned with, whether you say so or not publicly, what you are concerned with is the satisfaction of your heart and the overall success of your life. If your relatives in India ask you, how are you doing in Australia? And you say, I'm having food, shelter, and clothing. They'll not be impressed. They expect so much more of you. They want to hear, generally, how you have attained significant opulence, significant fame, significant prestige. And indeed, that's what most will try to do. It is not that the significant wealth, prestige, affluence is required for basic life. No. We feel it's required in order to truly be a successful person and to satisfy ourselves. Well, therefore, we have to understand what is real success. Once we begin to see what the actual situation is around us, material objects pervaded by the material energy, the material energy pervaded by the spirit souls who seek to enjoy the material energy, and all of that pervaded by Krishna. Once we start to see in that way, then we can actually begin to sort out our life. Once we see the full picture. As we are trying to sort out our life, we note that people are coming together and being separated. Just like the wind brings pieces of grass or pieces of cotton, pieces of dust together by the winds blowing, and then the wind separates that same cotton or grass, dust. You will all agree that the movements of little blades of grass, little pieces of dust, the movements all depend on the wind. Similarly, the movements of the living entities in their coming together and separating all depend on the Supreme Personality of God, who manages the movements of the living entities through time. So time is the medium of the Supreme Lord for bringing people together and separating them. You have gathered in particular families, and you will establish other family links. Those of you who are not married, when you marry, you'll establish more family links. All those arrangements are made by time. But the same factor of time that brings us all together will also separate us. Therefore, we always have to recognize the greater picture, the bigger reality. How can we design our life so that we can stay afloat in the ocean of material existence and achieve the destination? You will all agree that this boat is very nice for a short trip. How many of you would want to live on a boat in the ocean all the time? No. You see, this is not our home. This is not our natural position. Our natural position should be on the land. Similarly, it is not our position, it is not our nature to be in the ocean of material existence. Our natural position, our home, is to be with Krishna in our status as spirit soul. In that status of spirit soul, we're always rendering service to Krishna. Ordinarily, no one likes to consider their life successful if it means they are a servant. Again, if your relatives in India inquire, how are you doing? And you say, oh, I'm very well, thank you, I'm a servant. What is this? But to be a servant of Krishna is the eternal reality and the highest position. You see, what is highest in the spiritual world is lowest in the material world. So in material existence, to say, I am a servant, means people will look down upon you. No, you should be master, you should be controller, you should be enjoyer. But in the spiritual world, to say, I am Krishna's servant, that is the highest position, the most enviable position. You see, the spiritual world pervertedly reflects into the material world. So that what is highest in the spiritual world is the lowest in the material world. That's why we may have some dislike about being known as a servant of Krishna. Even though we may feel a dislike to being known as a servant of Krishna, the material energy in the ocean of material existence is forcing us to be servants of material nature. Who here can control the Melbourne weather? It's totally out of your hands. Even the weather people, they can't do anything about it. In the same way that you cannot control the weather in Melbourne, similarly, you cannot control material nature. So then what are we doing with our life if we can't control material nature? What else should we do? We should learn how to rise above material nature by connecting with Krishna, the source of both the material and spiritual energy. As long as we are at the mercy of material nature, we cannot be happy. We just don't know what will happen next. Just like the weather, we just don't know. One minute it's sunny, the next minute it's going to rain. Then the sun comes out again. We cannot put our hopes in material nature. But Krishna invites you to put your hopes, put your efforts in Him. In order for us to do that with enthusiasm, we need to know something about Krishna. We want to go beyond sentiment. We want to go beyond religious tradition and actually understand the science of Krishna. That understanding will lead to the greatest wealth, the spiritual wealth, which will actually satisfy us and indeed perfect our life. So what is causing the actual problem in our existence? We are studying, we are working, we are establishing families. What's causing the problem? The problem is our identity. As spirit soul, part of the Supreme Spirit Soul, part of Krishna, it is not our real occupation to try to satisfy ourselves with the material energy. That is a great mistake. In Sanskrit, the term for falsely trying to satisfy yourself in material life is known as jiva kosha. Imprisonment in material existence by the false ego. What is the false ego? The false ego is that imaginary you that thinks, I am the enjoyer, I am the controller. Material life means we struggle mightily based on the false ego. What can I control? What can I enjoy? What can I dominate? This attitude of Jiva Kosha leads to individual problems and mass social problems. What Lord Krishna is inviting you to do in Bhagavad Gita is to give up the Jiva Kosha existence. Give up the unnecessary struggle to master the material world. And indeed, put your energies into spiritual life. So there can be some fear. If I put my energies into spiritual life, does that mean I have to not work, not have a family, not deal with any responsibilities in this world? Of course it doesn't mean that. Spiritual life doesn't mean inactivity and irresponsibility. Actually, spiritual life, as presented by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, means engaging everything, using everything for Krishna's pleasure. Because Krishna is the supreme proprietor of everything. The great joy of a bhakti yogi, a true follower of Sanatana Dharma, the great joy of a Krishna conscious person is to use everything in Krishna's service. Just like this boat. Should we say, oh, we should not go on boat rides? This is material enjoyment. Why not use the boat in Krishna's service as a platform for elevating our spiritual life while taking a nice ride in the harbor? This very act of taking the boat, taking this cruise, shows you how you can use everything in your life for the highest purpose. Your family, your marriage, your children, your home, your career. Everything can be used for the highest purpose, just like this boat is being used for the highest purpose. On this boat we are hearing about Krishna. We are chanting Krishna's name. We are taking food offered to the Lord. We are taking prasad. And we are associating with the devotees of Krishna. And we're hearing talks about Krishna. Just as everything on this boat now is used directly for Krishna's pleasure, similarly, you can use everything in your life for Krishna's pleasure. Then you are successful. Not only will you be successful, but you'll be able to bring success to others. For some of you, I hope this cruise will be the gateway to amazing opportunities in Krishna consciousness. We have seen in the past that this has happened. We have been doing this cruise for several years now. First it began in Melbourne, and now also in Sydney we are doing. I think the Melbourne cruise is better. In Sydney, people expect it'll be nice weather and automatically we'll enjoy. But in Melbourne, the attitude is more humble that. Let's see what the weather's like when we get on the boat. In any case, we're going. By your presence on this cruise, you're qualifying yourself for real success, real career opportunity. Here we learn the art, science, and culture of how to engage everything in the service of the proprietor of everything. It is very ungrateful. Indeed, it's criminal to use things without recognizing the proprietor. But that is what modern society does. You interact with matter. You interact with material objects and resources. The emphasis is on your interaction, not on the acknowledgement of any supreme authority, supreme source of all energy. In this way, generation after generation of thieves is produced. And that's why people are full of such anxiety and stress, because of the criminal attitude of a thief. Thief means, I don't care who anything belongs to. I'm going to take it for me. Then you can say, well, there are honest thieves. What's an honest thief like? The honest thief says to another honest thief, let us steal and take everything back to our hideout and divide it fairly. We are honest thieves. So that is the nature of life in material existence, life in the ocean of material existence. False honor, false morality. Everything simply is centered upon how can I get what I want. A much more happy life is to think, how can Krishna get what he wants? Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. That means he's the most expert at enjoyment. And he wants to share that enjoyment with his parts. But we rebel in our jiva kosha, imprisoned by the false ego attitude of material existence. We rebel and say, no, we don't need Krishna to tell us how to be happy. We can figure it out all for ourselves. This attitude of rebellion has brought so much havoc, so much distress, so much stress and disappointment. Because we can't be happy without following Krishna's plan. Which brings us to another subject. Would we ever dare to think that there is a standard plan for happiness? No. Contemporary society is built upon the mistake that each of us has to find our own way for happiness. There's no standard plan. Consequently, what do? We ignore all the instructions of the great Krishna conscious liberated personalities, the superior personalities who are totally fixed in their spiritual identity as part of Krishna. We neglect their instructions, and instead we focus on our own vision, our own program for manipulating the material energy. No success can come from this. We have already seen that mistake demonstrated by the Australians, by the Americans, this group, that group. It's been clearly demonstrated that you cannot have a truly successful life when you're absorbed in materialism and forgetting all about supreme proprietor. Remembering the supreme proprietor means remembering the standard plan for happiness. Krishna is the most expert at happiness because he is the supreme enjoyer by definition. He wants to share his enjoyment with you. But we are afraid. What will happen to my career plans? What will happen to my family? If we listen too much to Krishna. Sometimes we like to think, if we just take a little bit of what Krishna says, like a little bit of salt on the food, that's enough. A little bit of spices, not too much Krishna. But if we actually understand who Krishna is, we'll realize we can have unlimited Krishna. And we can go on increasing and increasing and increasing, more Krishna and more Krishna. That is life as it should be lived. Naturally, we have to know something about Krishna. Cruises like this are a great opportunity to inspire people. Revive your relationship with Krishna. Revive your knowledge of Krishna. And as I said, some of you will revive your own Krishna consciousness, and then you'll help others to be Krishna conscious. In this way, the fortune of the world will increase. Yes, we want you to be successful. But real success concerns things that time cannot destroy. Remember the winds that bring together grass and dust and separate them also. Similarly, time, as the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, brings together living entities and separates them. So it is a fact. That same principle that brought together you into families, societies, that same time factor will separate all living entities. You have seen it at the workplace. In the persons you're working with, they're changing all the time. Most people spend more time at work than they do at home. So at work, they're seeing the persons around them are changing. And most people today consider it normal that the people at home are also changing. Because people spend so much time at work, they think, that's my real life, my associates at work. In fact, many people go to work to escape the problems at home. Probably most of you don't think in that way. But amongst the Australians, the Americans, the British, they admit, I just got to get away from home. Home is just good for sleeping, watching television. At least when I go to work, I don't have to put up with so much harassment, so much personal misunderstanding. And they're spending most of their life at work. Remember the days of the 40-hour work week? Probably some of you never even saw such a thing as a 40-hour work week because it went out of existence maybe 10 years ago before you ever entered the job market. I always like to explain that. I remember as a young boy in the 50s, the communists were making propaganda that through communism, the work week will reduce more and more and more. You just give communism a chance, people will be working less and less hours. And the capitalists were also saying the same thing. Through capitalism, the working week will be reduced. People will work less and less. Very soon, they said, the 40-hour work week will be obsolete. People will be working so much less. Maybe some of you remember that kind of talk. I remember in the 50s that there were so many newspaper articles written that soon we will need leisure time experts to help us deal with so much leisure time. And so people were invited, trained for this future cutting-edge profession, leisure time expert. Because when the working week shrinks, when the working week is reduced to 20 hours a week, people have so much leisure time they won't know what to do with it. So you can be in the position for the top career by learning how to be a leisure time expert. Yes, this is how they were taught. Now what has happened? The 40-hour work week is a thing of the past. It's not that people are working less, they're working much more. And because they're working so much, the workplace is their real home. They live in cities surrounded by what are called bedroom communities. Suburban communities where people just come home to sleep. After working 12 hours in the office, they come home to their bedroom community to sleep. And then on Saturdays and Sundays, they're so tired from the weekday work that they sleep all day Saturday and Sunday too. Therefore, the suburbs are called bedroom communities. There's so much dissension, so many problems at home. Maybe you all are not seeing these realities right now due to some social stability that's present in the culture. But certainly your children will see that. As you raise your children in Australia, they will not be at all attached to the cultural ways of their parents, the cultural stability of their parents. And as I always point out, what are you going to say to them? No, no, you shouldn't behave in this way. Your grandmother in India would never appreciate this. And what are they going to do? What are your children going to say to you? That doesn't matter to us. And you won't know what to do. Oh. Oh. I always like to tell the story about I was doing a program at a home in Canberra. Wealthy Indian gentleman. And he told me something. He's very shocked. He told me, you know, yesterday my 8-year-old daughter, she came home from school and she asked me, Father, when are you and mother going to live in different houses like all my friends at school? It would be so much fun to spend some days in mother's house and some days in your house. All my friends are like that. What's wrong with you, Father? Why aren't you doing like this? Everyone does that. It turned out that in his daughter's class of 25 students, she was the only one who had a family in which the original mother and father were together. Yeah, this is the reality. Is this the kind of price we want to pay for success? We have to look deeply at the situation and see the downside. Let us not proceed forward in a naive way, in a sentimental way, in a blind way. Let us look carefully at the overall picture and situate ourselves properly. Let us see what the end result of a material lifestyle is. I was speaking recently to a devotee who is a land developer. He buys land and puts up housing projects. And I was telling him what the latest way in the USA is to present houses for affluent people to buy. Because even though they're having the mortgage meltdown there, still, you know, people have money, and some people have money, and they're buying houses. So the cutting edge houses, do you know how the cutting edge houses are presented for the affluent, for the successful career people? They're presented in this way. there'll be an office for him on one side of the big house, and an office for her on the other side of the big house. There'll be a great distance between the two offices. There'll be a special locked room in which you can go inside and no one's able to bug you. And there'll be separate internet alcoves in the home for each member of the family, so they can absorb themselves in the internet without anyone seeing what they're doing. And the developers of these houses were actually saying in a positive way, this is exactly the kind of house that today's dysfunctional family needs. They were proud of themselves. We have devised a home that is perfect for today's dysfunctional family. This is the reality. So I beg you to consider the whole picture. Of course, you may say, all right, we understand that extreme gross materialism is very, very dangerous. At the same time, does that mean we have to just embrace religious sentiment? Why should we go from one extreme to the other? On one extreme is the gross materialism, on the other extreme is the religious sentiment, the blind following of traditions. Isn't there somewhere in between? It's not a question of going in between gross materialism and religious sentiment. It is a question of acquiring real spiritual knowledge. That wealth Lord Krishna wants to give to you. Not sentiment, not true believer religion, but spiritual experience, spiritual science. Krishna is the most intelligent person. Therefore, shouldn't he make available to his devotees the most intelligence? Krishna does not want to give religious sentiment and blind belief. Krishna wants to give you dynamic spiritual experience so that you will let go of your grip on the illusion of material life. So I ask you to consider all these points. Don't think that there are simply two alternatives: blind gross materialism or blind religious sentiment. I can't handle either of them, so what to do? Lord Krishna has made available the most profound spiritual knowledge, the deepest spiritual knowledge, the most comprehensive spiritual knowledge. That knowledge that Lord Krishna gives will dispel the clouds of ignorance and let you see your true spiritual identity, and will let you see the identity of Krishna. How do you make progress back to Krishna? You do that by using everything in Krishna's service, because everything belongs to Krishna. Just like this cruise is used in Krishna's service. So you can look at every aspect of your life, your work, your home, your car, your children, your family, how to put Krishna in the center of all these things. That is the art, science, and culture of Bhakti Yoga. The insight for using everything in Krishna's service comes by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. By hearing the Hare Krishna mantra, you're empowered with the vision to see everything in connection to Krishna. And then it's easy to use everything in Krishna's service. So please don't fear that if I become Krishna conscious, that means I have to turn my back on everything I'm doing. Who has ever said that? I have to renounce everything, give away everything. First of all, what is yours to renounce? What is yours to give up? Can you imagine yourself walking in the center of Melbourne, maybe on Swanson Street or Collins Street, and you go by a big bank building, maybe even ANZ Bank or Westpac, and you walk by that big bank building and you say to your friend, This is the Westpac building. I renounce it. Your friend will look at you like you're crazy. You don't own Westpac. You don't own this building. So how can you say you renounce it? You give it up. But no, you are very determined and you are very proud. I give it all up. I'm going to be a spiritual person, so I give it all up. I give up Westpac. I give up ANZ. This is man's. It's not yours to give up. Simply nothing in our life is ours to give up. Everything always belongs to Krishna. But in our dream, in our illusion, we imagine this is mine. And we go through so much trouble because of this false proprietorship. There's so much pleasure in recognizing Krishna as the enjoyer, as the controller, as the proprietor. Whatever you have, use it for Krishna's pleasure, just like we're using this cruise for Krishna's pleasure. There's so many cruises you can take in this world, but this is the best cruise of all. And by your good fortune, you are participating in this cruise. And I hope that some of you will take the opportunity that this cruise provides very seriously. Make this cruise a doorway to your spiritually enhanced career with Krishna in the center. So I thank you very much for your kind attention.